Barbershop.
Oh.
What are you doing right now?
Power ranking pies.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
I mean, pies, you got 1,000 pies. Cherry pie, blueberry pie, chocolate pie. Birthday cake, cookies, chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, macadamia nut. You got the four-layer delight. You got cupcakes. You got donuts. I mean, candy bars. Ice cream, there's 100,000 flavors of ice cream. Carrot cake, red velvet cake, chocolate cake, yellow cake. Oh, my God, I forgot sweet potato pie. Pizza pie, chicken pot pie, shepherd's pie.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Talking. Baked with a crust, that gooey strawberry. When my grandma makes that, oh my God, I'd kill 6 innocent people to have a slice of that right now. You know, if I was in another country, didn't know the people, and they said you have to kill these people, nobody will ever know about it, but you get your slice of pie, that's a bad day for them.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
You don't want too much crust either. I don't like too much crust on my pies. A good thin, flaky crust apple pie with the sugar on top.
And
throw that scoop, I mean, right out of the oven too. I'm talking, I want you to picture this, right out of the oven in a bowl. You chop it around a little bit.
No, the,
toss that
no.
scoop on top. A little drips through the crevices of the cinnamon apple. God, it's good.
Hour 2 kicking off in the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Before we get to headlines, we're going to tell you about our friends at Mountain View Chevy. They are the home of the low price promise, which means they will meet or beat any advertised price, or they'll give you the car for free. Russell, Chance, and the Bear will be down there today. If you live in that area, stop by, see them, and try to get behind the wheel of a new Silverado, new Tahoe.
Suburban.
Try them out. Go by and see them. Take them some food. Give them some hugs. Support our friends at Mountain View Chevy. I-24 downtown in Chattanooga, right off of the Market Street exit. Search their inventory online at mtnviewchevy.com. But again, go down and see them if you live in the area. All right, Cody, you ready for some Hour 2 headlines?
When have I ever not been ready?
That's true.
Every time. Ready every time for the headlines. Let's start with this one. Guess who? I'm interested to see if you know about this already. Do you know who's in town tonight? Famous actor, movie premiere. You know who's in town tonight?
Burt Reynolds.
Yes, exactly. Apparently you have heard about it. Burt Reynolds will attend the Knoxville premiere of his movie, The Last Movie Star. Tonight at the Tennessee Theater. The film was shot almost entirely in Knoxville. Burt will walk the red carpet at the Tennessee Theater tonight. The screening begins at 7:30 p.m. The film is based largely on Burt Reynolds' real life. It was written and directed by Adam Rifkin and follows the story of an aging actor who was once Hollywood's biggest star, returning to his hometown to accept an award. Select autographed memorabilia from the movie will be part of a silent auction in the lobby of the theater before and after the screening. That report from WATE. I am actually going to this event tonight. I had a buddy who had some tickets to this thing. He invited me, so I'm actually going to this premiere. Kind of interested to see what it's like. You know, I've never been to the Tennessee Theater.
Really? For nothing?
For nothing. I mean, obviously, I've been by it, you know, walking to the bars and such, but I've never been inside.
It's really nice inside.
Yeah, I've always heard.
I know everyone says it's really nice inside, but when you go in, you're like, oh, that's what they mean. Really nice inside. I've seen a couple concerts there before.
Yeah, I've always really wanted to check it out. So
they're showing the movie there?
Yes.
Like on a screen?
Yeah, the screening begins at 7:30.
Okay. How old do you think Burt Reynolds is? Do you know?
If I just had to guess off the top of my head how old Burt Reynolds is.
Yeah.
68. Is that too old? Too young? Let me Google it. 68. That was my off-the-top guess. Burt Reynolds is actually... Oh, my God. He's 82? He's 82?
How did you think... Magic Johnson is older than Burt Reynolds.
I don't know. I'm not good with ages, apparently. I had no idea Burt Reynolds was that old.
So when you told me that the movie's about an aging movie star, I want to be like, he's a little bit past aging, Burt. I don't know if you can consider yourself an aging movie star. I think you're already aged.
Wow. 82. I mean, I would have said maybe 70s. I thought I was shooting a little low at 68, but 82.
Finally did it. We finally did it, Ben. We got Cody to guess something that he was genuinely shocked at.
Yeah.
All it took was Burt Reynolds' age.
Man, oh, man. Well, I hope he can make it to the premiere tonight now. Gosh.
This might be his last movie.
Yeah. I'd say it's probably about time to hang it up.
You might be seeing the screening tonight of Burt's last movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Well, anyway, moving on here. Trevon Boykin, former Seattle Seahawks quarterback. He played at TCU. He was arrested Wednesday at his North Texas home and charged with aggravated assault after his girlfriend accused him of beating her severely at his home. Rough story here. Boykin was arrested after Mansfield police viewed footage of an incident from March 21st captured by his own security video system. According to a police statement, he has been booked into the Mansfield City Jail, remains without bond pending arraignment. The Seahawks released Boykin from their practice squad on Tuesday after an affiliate in Dallas posted an interview with his girlfriend in which she alleged he had broken her jaw. Boykin denied the allegations.
See, to me, that's what makes this Manziel stuff so crazy to me. Because Manziel had the whole charge, you know, of domestic assault with his girlfriend.
His was like, wasn't it like on the side of a road in a car?
There were two instances. There was that, and then there was another one in a hotel.
But she ended up saying the first time that nothing happened, right? She backed him, I guess.
After the initial charge, sure. But, I mean, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean nothing happened. But either way, like, with Manziel, that's what surprised me so much is that, like, we've heard for so long that, and we see it right here with Trevon Boykin, you can't be a distraction if you're a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
So, like, that, again, like, that's why I keep being so surprised at all the interest in Manziel. The big celebrity, the baggage, as a backup. We've always heard in the NFL that that doesn't mix. This is another instance that kind of surprises me.
Yeah, that's a rough one, man. That's a rough one. He was arrested in Dallas last year, too, apparently. A vehicle he was in hit several people on a sidewalk. He fled the scene on foot but was later arrested on misdemeanor charges of public intox and possession of marijuana. He was a passenger in that car, though. He wasn't driving. Yeah. Doctors completed a complicated 12-hour surgery Wednesday night in New York to remove oral cancer and reconstruct the upper jaw of Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly. Doctors said, "We successfully removed nodes from his neck. We then reconstructed the upper jaw. Mr. Kelly is resting comfortable." To a positive story. So the cancer's been removed.
That's how you do headlines there, folks.
Zion Williamson, we talked about his big dunk the other day. He's the McDonald's All-American, of course, the best player in the country, or at least one of them.
I think he's number three, but I don't think he's – I don't know. I've never seen him do anything other than dunk.
Yeah, well.
I don't know.
He's a five-star Duke commit. Well, now he's injured his hand, apparently. He was just a few days after being – an internet sensation for his highlight reel dunk, which he's got several of them, of course. Now he has injured his hand. His night was cut short last night in the McDonald's All-American game when he suffered what appeared to be a gruesome thumb injury as he drove past North Carolina signee Nasir Little late in the second half. So Zion goes down with an injury. He was taken to the locker room for further examination. Did not return to the floor. He is scheduled to see a personal orthopedist today. So hopefully he can get that thumb taken care of.
Butch Jones' salary has been released at Alabama. It's about where I thought it would be, $35,000.
Is it $35,000?
Which doesn't matter because
he's still getting paid.
He gets paid everything from Tennessee, so I guess they're just slotting him in. That's where everybody kind of gets paid, but he's still making.
Probably wishes he was making less at Alabama.
You know, there were like rumors that Alabama was paying him $5 for the year. Just to kind of, I mean, just because it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's still getting all his buyout money. But that was reported by Knox News, Blake Toppenmeyer. Any more headlines?
Howard Stern had a message for Donald Trump. He's worried about his mental health, and he said it's time to get out of the White House. I was watching the news, Stern said. They said that the president calls his friends and asks for advice. He's never once called me and asked for advice, which kind of got me a little upset. My advice would be, like, get the F out of there, man. Just give it over to Vice President Pence and let him do his thing. Stern and Trump are friends.
Mm-hmm.
Trump used to always go on his show, you know, back in, which of course is where a lot of that stuff surfaced with the, they were, when he was running for president, they played back a lot of those old clips. But apparently he's worried about him, worried about his mental health, he said, and said, just get the F out of there. Stern's advice. A columnist for the Times Free Press says Tennessee has the talent to go 8-4 next year. Mark Weidmer. You ever heard of him?
No, I don't think I have.
He's a columnist for the Times Free Press down in Chattanooga. He says Tennessee has the schedule and the talent to finish 8-4. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, we'll talk about it next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Proceed.
I'm actually surprised Butch Jones even took that $35,000 salary. Figured he'd just say, give me a dollar. I'm going to Roger Goodell it. Make Tennessee pay for as much of it as they can, or as they have to. He fulfills his contract obligation of having to look for another job. Alabama, I think, pays all their analysts, because I remember that when it was Steve Sarkisian as well, that he was getting $35,000. So I think that's pretty much where they slot him in at. It's basically, they've used the analyst role as a way to get high-dollar coaches who are getting buyout money, get them in for cheap. And Butch Jones, the next person on that list, getting $35,000 from Alabama because they just are printing money down there because they make so much money. And, okay, so the Chattanooga Times Free Press said Tennessee has the talent for 8-4.
That's what this guy says.
I mean, I don't think he's wrong. If you look at recruiting numbers, is that what he is citing, recruiting numbers? Because we saw ESPN say there were, what, 10 teams with enough talent to win the national title? And, like, Tennessee came in as that last team because their average recruiting class finished in the top 15 for 5 years or 4 years or whatever. So, I mean, like, Tennessee's talent looks good on paper still.
He talks about a new coach bringing new hope, new expectations, and this year's schedule, though filled with the usual collection of SEC heavyweights, also offers a realistic shot for the Vols to win no fewer than 6 regular season games and perhaps as many as 8, possibly even 9. Well, come on, Mark.
Well, we did look at the schedule yesterday.
We did. We did, but that stretch in the middle.
You're pretty much going to have to win every other game besides that stretch in October. The end of September, early October.
This one is one of those, to me, that's going to get flushed into that the old takes exposed account. I mean, I just don't see any way.
Are we going to do this again?
No, I mean, we don't have to go through it again.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about us. Although I do kind of despise this type of talk.
In March, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Johnny wanted yesterday. So, Johnny, I hope you're listening. You're getting what you wanted
to
hear.
He's not. He doesn't care anymore.
Are we going to do this again where we start low I'll be lucky to make a ball game to, well, you know, 8-4 is not out of the realm of possibility to, well, if things go well and you get a couple breaks, you can go 9-3. Are we going to do this again?
Apparently.
Like, it's March, so like I can only imagine how ramped up people are going to become July or August. Like, usually it takes July or August, the real off season. No offense to, is it Widmer?
Yeah, this guy, he just goes through the whole schedule, basically, with his score predictions.
No offense to him at all, because he has a job to do.
Sure. And we're talking about it, so good for him.
And we're using it as material for the show, so he's helping us do our job. So this is like this kind of the circle of life in the sports media landscape. Very rarely, or I guess it's probably, I guess rarely is not the right word. I'd say it's almost even. It's almost 50-50. Maybe it's skewed one way. I'd say half of what we talk about, if not less, is about the actual games. And the rest is like what people say about the games.
Right.
Like judging other people's takes and reactions. So, like, shout out to Widmer for giving us some material to talk about. Circle of Life and all that. He is the antelope. We are the lions right now.
Right.
It's just, it's March, bro. You're supposed to save the 8-4 talk for the dead of the offseason, like right before SEC media days. You fire this out in June. It's March.
Well, the way he puts it.
The hell else are you going to write for the next 5 months? Widmer? I'm sorry, I don't mean to mispronounce your name.
The way he puts it, Tennessee is not going to be overwhelmed in talent when they play West Virginia. He points out that the Mountaineers lost their last three games last season, including a 30-14 defeat against Utah in the Heart of Dallas Bowl. He's got them coming back, beating East Tennessee State and UTEP, of course. Is that basically Tennessee can win the first third of its schedule. He's got them going 4-0. Which is not out of the realm of possibilities. I mean, to beat, we talked about it yesterday, to beat West Virginia and Florida. I don't think we're going to get both of them.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing is you could almost go ahead and you could chalk all four in the middle to as a loss. Like, could you convince me that you could beat South Carolina on the road? Yeah, sure. South Carolina. I'm not going to be terrified of South Carolina. You could convince me that could happen. Could you convince me that you could win at Georgia? No. No, you couldn't. At Auburn, no, you couldn't.
He's
Alabama,
right?
No,
he's got them dropping all four.
Yeah,
34-21. They'll lose to Georgia.
Okay, wait. Okay, I mean, I guess they're losing some defensive players, whatever. 34-21 seems like something that I would sign up for right now. If you told me that was going to be the final score in Athens,
it beats 41-0, doesn't it?
Like, I feel like everyone's locking that in right now, right?
Yeah.
Or 90% of people. I'm sure there's 10% or less of the people who look and say, no, Tennessee has a shot. Lock me in to 34-21.
28-14 loss to Auburn. 27-7 loss to Bama.
What was the Auburn score again, sorry?
28-14. So the way he's looking at this with his score concoctions he's putting out here is that Tennessee's defense will be better under Jeremy Pruitt. He doesn't have any team putting up more than 34 on us. Unlike what happened last year. I mean, good Lord, last year we gave up, 41 to Georgia. How many to Alabama been? 49? 45?
45 to Alabama.
50-something to Mizzou.
Yeah. 40 to Vandy, right?
Yeah, 45 to Vandy. I mean, so I guess he thinks the defense is going to be better. But he's got us losing 24-14 to South Carolina. So you win four, you lose four. And Mr. Widmer believes that we can pull out these last four down the stretch. He says UT will head to its regular season finale at Vanderbilt with a 7-4 record. That's going to be tough, Mark. That means beating Charlotte, Kentucky, and Missouri.
The final four I look at and say that could happen. It's the first four that he's got me kind of hung up on.
He's kind of getting me pumped.
Well, that's what T-Carp just tweeted in. He says if he starts 4-0, this place will be rocking. Yeah, if he starts 4-0, this town will be alive. I mean, then you're going to get your eyes beat shut for four straight and be 4-4, but people will still be happy.
You probably won't get your eyes beat shut by South Carolina, hopefully. But the other three.
Maybe not.
The other three, probably.
Maybe not. When I look at South Carolina, I look at, well, this is coming off of Georgia, Auburn, and Alabama right before it.
Good point. Good point. And directly off Alabama.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I look at when I see that. I'm like, well, that's unfortunate.
Mark,
but sure.
Mark ends it by saying, crazy? Perhaps. Going from 8 losses to 8 wins in one season within the SEC is a tall task. Then again, how many of you thought 2 weeks ago that Loyola Chicago would reach the Final Four? Oh, well, all right.
I mean, like I said.
Way to end it, Mark.
It's March, Mark. What are you doing? You're supposed to save this for June. Or at least after spring practice. Like, you have to have some type of take from the spring game. Like, hey, did you see how good Garantano looked? Huh? Because last year, people were like, well, Dorman, he went 10 for 10.
Well, if you're a guy that covers Tennessee athletics only, I mean, basketball season's over, you probably don't care about much else right now other than Tennessee football, right? I mean, of course, we talk about other things like, you know, pies and stuff, but.
Yeah, people are asking for talk like this, so I mean, I guess this is what people want.
Like, if you're not a versatile show like we are, where you can go talk about dinosaurs and stuff, then I guess you're kind of looking, got your sights set on nothing but Tennessee football right now.
I just, it's a long off season of just, like, I've already shot all my ammo. The schedule sets up that you should go 7-5. Like, that's my ammo for my breakdown right now.
Am I a loser if Mark's column got me a little bit pumped up?
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
You're a huge loser if that got you pumped up.
Because, like, when we did the – what day were you not? Tuesday. You weren't here. I was all depressed about the season. We were talking a little football. I was like, yesterday I didn't feel good. I don't know, though. This column, Mark's column, after reading it, you know, you really think about the schedule. Kind of got me pumped.
I told you to look at the schedule yesterday. That's what we did.
But you didn't lay it out like Mark did.
Yes, I 100% did. I said, look at these last four games. I said, I'm not going back to the world where I'm worried about Missouri and Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
I'm getting progressively more excited.
No, nah, I feel like the progressively things, that whole thing is going to stop. Like, the absolute ceiling is going to be 8-4. Like, I don't know how much more excited you can get than 8-4.
Oh, what is that poking me? What is that poking me in the butt? Is that what? Is that my shepherd? Is that Jeremy Pruitt? My shepherd? Bah! Bah! Bah!
What just happened? When you said, what's that poking me in the back, and then you asked if it was Jeremy Pruitt, I was like, what is happening right now?
You get it?
I get,
you
it,
get
now.
It now.
I get it now.
Ah! Come on, let's go. You. Let's go. Yeah. Okay. I'm becoming a sheep, a Pruitt sheep.
Now I get it.
If we beat Florida, I'm going to be such a sheep.
Buddy, you don't have to warn me. You were sitting here defending Butch Jones right before the season last year.
Oh, come on. I was not.
Going through the list of other coaches you'd rather have, and you're like, there's only like 10 guys I'd rather have.
Oh, come on.
I'll pull the tape.
Come on.
I'll pull the tape.
Ah, that tape. There's no tape. Ben, you don't remember. You remember that, Ben? There's no tape.
I don't know if Ben was here yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's no tape.
You might have been here, Ben. I don't remember.
No, what I said back then was...
You don't have to warn me that you're going to become a sheep.
I don't know what I said last year.
You know what you said. You know what you said. Back on the program, as we speak right now, the House of Tennessee is voting on this UT Focus Act. We haven't really talked about it.
No, we haven't. I heard Russell and them talking about it yesterday. Isn't it Didn't Will Warren write something about it?
Will Warren wrote something about it like a month ago.
Yeah.
Laying out why it was bad and why Tennessee needs to stop it. It passed in the Senate. The House now meeting on it. I've only heard one vote so far, and it was passed by the one vote. Like, they're still, I guess, giving speeches and talking about it as we speak. But the one I got to hear was not good if you are opposing.
So this is a bill to reduce the Board of Trustees
from was it 27 to 11, I believe.
27 to 3. The vote?
No. Reducing the numbers.
The membership. Yeah.
The vote in the Senate, yeah, it was passed heavily, 27 to 3.
Right, right. Yeah, the membership would reduce board membership from 27 to 11 if passed in the House and signed by the governor into law. The bill would also place 7-member advisory boards on individual system campuses.
Yeah. What they want to do looks like it is going to, right now the vote's 55 to 37. So, I mean, it's closer in the House. It's going on like right now. I got the video pulled up.
It's passing, though?
Yeah. Republican Martin Daniel from Tennessee was the guy I saw vote yes.
This also takes away the student vote, right?
The what?
The student vote on the board, something like that.
Yeah.
Right now, isn't there one voting student member and then one non-voting?
Yeah.
And it's the same with the faculty, right?
And
one voting, one non-voting.
And this takes away this takes away the student vote in the board. I believe.
Well, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, look, currently for I guess the next 30 minutes to an hour, the board is made up of 27 people, 5 ex officio members. That's the governor, the commissioner of education, UT's president, and 2 more, and then 22 additional members, at least one of which is appointed from each congressional district. There's 9. Haslam and this, Haslam in the bill wants to reduce this 27-person board to 11. The commissioner of agriculture and then 10 hand-picked members with no regard to congressional districts. So basically, he could pick 10 guys that he wants to pick.
Yeah.
As it stands, the board must be constructed using 2 current faculty members of the University of Tennessee and 2 current students. So like you were talking about, Ben Lee, this new proposed bill that, again, looks like it's going to pass, eliminates this entirely by saying no employees of any higher institution are allowed, along with eliminating students from the board.
So that is that the biggest opposition to this?
I think it's the hand-picked thing.
The hand-picked thing is a bigger deal?
I think the hand-picked thing is the bigger deal. Because, I mean, if I want to pass anything... If I want to put say we're having a court case, and just think that the judge gets to hand pick the jury.
Yeah, that'd be a fun.
You get to pick the jury. They're not randomly selected. They're not even your. And then yeah, I mean they're going to vote the way that you know they're going to Democrats, and 9 members must be alumni of the University of Tennessee. This bill proposes to eliminate the first half and extend the alumni portion to 5 of the 10 additional members. So of the 10 people that can be appointed, 5 of them must be alumni. So it's still half. But there's no political party requirement. Again, he could pick 10 Republicans or 10 of his friends that he knows he's going to vote however he wants.
Right. Yeah, well, that's obviously an issue. The size of the board has long been a point of criticism for some Republican lawmakers. This is from the Sentinel. They've argued that its size has made it unwieldy and left individual members feeling like they have less of a stake But the bill also has been met by considerable opposition from faculty and students.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the faculty and students, they want their voice to be heard, but the faculty and students are about to get...
That's why they're so upset about it.
Eliminated.
Yeah.
Last little bit, the board is required to have at least one person 60 years old or older for age diversity and one person of color for racial diversity. Haslam's plan eliminates both. And most important, as Will Warren wrote a month ago, as it stands, the Board of Trustees has the power to remove a university chancellor, or president at any time they have the votes to do so. Haslam's plan removes the board's ability to do either. So basically, like, once a president gets in, the board no longer
has... It's like a Supreme Court justice?
I mean, that's...
They're just in until they die? Or choose to leave? Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's why people are against it.
So how are they going to stop it?
They're not.
And Bill is positioning himself for president?
And that's what people think. People are connecting the dots and think that Governor Haslam will soon, you know, no longer be governor and instead will want to become president of the University of Tennessee. And a part of the spiel I got to hear in the House pointed out Joe DiPietro not much longer for the role of president of Tennessee. It says retirement is imminent. So people think...
For the governor... For Bill?
No. For Joe DiPietro, the current president of Tennessee. They think retirement is imminent for him. So then Tennessee will then be looking for a new university president. People think Bill Haslam will then take that role, and then bada boom, bada bing.
Is Haslam's term...
DiPietro already
out?
Announced that he's going to Indiana, hadn't he?
Has he? I don't know.
I thought he...
I was just listening to the announcement, or the... Oh. I was just listening to the spill from...
I feel like I remember us talking a while ago about DiPietro announcing that he was accepting a job in Indiana.
Okay. Well, I mean, it looks like it's coming open in 2019. So I guess that would make sense.
Well, Haslam is going to need a new job, I guess, because he's been elected. He's been the governor since 2010. So, yeah, his term's coming up.
Yeah.
You can't serve more than two terms consecutively.
Right.
So... That would be why he's positioning to make a move, if that's the case here.
Basically, this is getting set up, as Will Warren wrote. Bill Haslam is setting up a roadmap where he or his proxy can become the University of Tennessee president in 2019 with zero serious opposition, because the board of trustees that makes the hire will be 10 of his best friends.
How would we feel about this?
I mean, some people are really scared. Some people are really scared. Some people think, maybe we're just being overly dramatic. Like, during the whole coaching search, everything that went wrong, who got blamed? The Haslams. Like, what... Every time something goes wrong at the University of Tennessee, who gets the blame for the most part?
Haslam's. But it's always the other brother.
Yes, it is. And there, look, some the people who don't want to panic think, like, hey, Bill's different.
Isn't Bill viewed in he's viewed in a much better light in the state?
Oh, yeah.
Than Jimmy.
I would say so. But then there's that whole,
connection.
That and the whole gas tax.
Yeah.
A lot of people are against the gas tax. The gas tax that, one of the biggest.
Tax on gasoline.
Yeah, one of the biggest, I mean, the vote's now 60-34. We haven't really talked about it. A lot of other people have.
Retribution for the campus decisions to not outsource those facilities jobs. Faculty and staff believe that this move is retribution for the campus decisions to not outsource. No truth. to those accusations.
I mean, the not only be retribution for that, it could be retribution for Fulmer and Bev for the coaching search, for blocking Shiano, like
the whole conspiracy.
That, like, hey, yeah, you guys might have won that battle, but we're about to win the war, and we're going to take complete control of the university. Like, that is the doomsday scenario for a lot of people. And then we can do whatever we want, and, well, oh, yeah, the board can't vote me out.
Well, surely the Haslams, I mean, would they make a move like that just out of spite? I mean, is that a thing that people believe that's happening here?
Whether, I mean, if you want to look at it negatively, you say it's out of spite. If you want to look at it positively, it's a move of power. And I don't think someone who's been the governor for 8 years and has a billionaire family, I don't think them making a power move is out of the realm of possibility at all.
No, not at all. At least the students would get to serve on campus advisory boards still.
Okay, well, that's good.
That's something in the report. Campus advisory boards, as opposed to the system-wide board of trustees. So this is currently passing, correct?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm trying to look to see if it has to be a two-thirds vote or anything. I really should have paid attention in government class. 865-546-8200 if you have any thoughts on it. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Got somebody, she's a beauty, very special, really and truly. Take good care of me, like it's her duty. Won't you ride by my side?
Democratic Representative John Ray Clemens from Nashville is trying to hold the fort down for the naysayers of this new bill, the Focus Act, that will basically give the governor complete control of the UT Board of Trustees. One of his quotes that gets sent into me from Spencer Clift: the last thing we want is for UT to become the Cleveland Browns. Sean Reed asked, did he hear that the incoming governor would choose board members, not Haslam? John Ray Clemens is talking about that right now and says that whenever it is, the House is out of session, so like they get no say on it.
It would be the incoming governor to pick the board members.
So it would be the incoming governor, so it wouldn't be...
Right. Wouldn't be Haslam.
It wouldn't be Bill Haslam.
Senator Mike Bell, Republican from Riceville, pointed out that currently the incoming governor would appoint 65% of the board, compared to 60% with the passage of the new measure.
It does not have to be two-thirds voters. It just has to be... simple majority, which they already have.
Yeah, it will be the incoming governor, though. So Sean Reed is right about that.
Okay.
As he points out, not that it changes things because so many people are in the Haslam's pockets. Could be a thing. I don't know.
As Amanda tweets in that any move made to quiet dissenting voices, that's a bad move. The government is supposed to listen to the people and represent them, and not allowing students and faculty an equal day is doing just that. I mean, the students and faculty not getting any type of voice on the board, that does jump out to you a little bit, right?
Yeah, especially when it's a university board.
Right.
You know, and it said they'll still get to be on these advisory boards, but as this points out, though, lawmakers made the final decision after much discussion about concerns that the advisory boards would dilute the power that the General Assembly hopes to give to the board members. So they don't want the advisory boards to have any power.
They just want them to advise.
Which means basically they just want them to be able to get in their little groups and yeah, sure, we'll listen. We'll hear you out.
An advisory group is just like, hey, tell us what you think. We don't have to listen, but you feel like you are at least getting your voice heard. You'll get a chance to advise us. That doesn't mean that you're making any decisions, but you're advising us.
It clearly states here that they don't want the advisory boards to have any power.
Yeah.
They're afraid it would dilute the power of the board.
I mean, diluting power seems like a good thing. Like I think in situations like these, the wider you could spread out power, the better.
Yeah, I mean the more opinions that you can have that are at least educated, somewhat diverse opinions. You know, I think it having students and faculty is a really important thing to do.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't want just your average student in there making decisions, but you know, a good qualified student who's been voted to.
We'll see how it shakes out. It looks like it's already has to be a simple majority, and it's already got over. At least John Ray Clemens is going down swinging.
It passed easily in the Senate. Looks like it's going to be pretty easy in the House.
There are, I think, 74 Republicans and 25 Democrats voting. So you had what it seems like all Democrats plus five join in resisting.
Just five of the Republicans?
I just got a text that this also jeopardizes Tennessee's like accreditation as a college.
As what, a public research university?
It just says this jeopardizes our accreditation. Two exclamation points.
Yeah, I don't know where
Damn
that
it.
I don't know where that would be.
I don't know what it means.
Like, our degrees are still good though, right?
Yeah.
Like they were accredited whenever we got out, right? So that's fine. That's all that matters,
I mean,
right?
I still don't really know how I got mine, but yeah.
Because you had to beg your teacher to pass you on your math test.
Yeah. Well, I feel like once you take a class four times,
she owes you at that point.
She kind of owes me the passing grade, I think.
Hour three, we will have more headlines, a new segment that might be good, it might be awful. We'll find out, as well as pump the brakes or keep rolling. Then we'll fill the other 10, 15 minutes with something.
Maybe we could power rank something, yeah?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Kind of seems like we haven't done a lot of power rankings lately.
We haven't.
I've had multiple emails and messages and phone calls and letters requesting that we do more power rankings.
Is that true?
Yeah, dozens. I mean, just email after email.
From the same person?
No, different people every time. Say, hey, you guys used to do a lot of power rankings. Where have they gone?
Okay, maybe we'll find something to power rank. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll be back, kickoff hour three, live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios next.